Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Once again, I have a great privilege of introducing my friend, missionary Brandon Cook, to the people of Italy, and I've asked him to take the Word of God and be a blessing to us through God's precious Word. So have your Bibles and be ready to listen.
Amen. Pastor, if you would take the Word of God, please, and open up to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It's been a wonderful day here at Riverview Baptist Church. It's been a blessing to preach and teach the Word of God, as it always is. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Galatians 6, verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." I want you to look at verse number 7, where it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." I want to talk to you tonight about the seeds we sow. The seeds we sow. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Blessed be thy holy name again. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us opportunity to have a place to gather together once again. And there are not one, not two, but many Christians here tonight, how they have gathered together. And we have gathered praying in the name of Jesus Christ, coming unto you and to seek after you, to seek your face and desire for you to speak to our hearts, desire for you to guide and direct our lives, desiring for you to be preeminent in this, in our lives and in this world. Help us, asking you to help us for us to walk upright. Help us, dear God, that we might walk with the Holy Spirit of God, and that we might seek those things that are above. We thank you, Lord, for this sermon. We're praying, God, that what we do, we would do specifically for you, and that we would not waste one word, that we would not waste one thing that we do in this lifetime. Help us, God, for the time is short. Help us to redeem the time that we've lost. We're desiring, Lord, that you would bless in a mighty way, continue to bless the pastor, continue to bless the people of Riverview Baptist Church. Help them to have peace. Help them to have fruit from their labor. Most of all, I pray that this church would be Christ-like. God, we so desire that, that you would be honored and glorified, that you can say that this is a glorious church. Yes, amen. Thank you, Father, for the washing of the word. And thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. 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 If God rules in your life, then he will have rules for you to abide by. There are certain things in this life where God has established. I want you to look in Genesis chapter 1. We're talking about the seeds that we sow. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to the seed chapter of all of history. Everything that you see today, we find in the first couple of chapters of Genesis. We see that it all started there. The reason why we have trees, why? Because you go to Genesis 1. The reason why we have animals, you find it in Genesis chapter 1. Humans, we find it right here. The reason why we find sin, or we have sin, the reason why we have death, the reason why we have destruction, you find it in the beginning chapters, in the first three chapters of Genesis. These are the seed chapters of all of history. All of history. Let's look at these chapters very quickly. We'll go over and some recap on something that you probably already know. We find day one when God created. There were six literal days of creation, and on the seventh day, God rested. Amen. Day one, we find in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God created light on that first day. Amen. On that second day, verse 6, it says, And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So God created that. God created that firmament on day two. Day one, light. Day two, the firmament. Day three, we find in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the together of the waters called he the seas. And God saw that it was good. Amen. It was perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. It was his perfection. It was his work. It hadn't been destroyed by sin yet. It was still a good thing. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed. Listen to that. The seed was created on that third day. After his kind, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So God created the land, God created the sea, and God created the plants on that third day. Third day. What happened on the fourth day? Let's go down to verse 14. The Bible says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God said it, and it was so. Amen. That's what kind of God we serve. Amen. It was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, that's the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night. That's the moon reflecting the sun's light, right? And it rules the night. And then it says, and he made the stars also. And I want to stop right there. Let's recap. What happened on the first day? God created light. Second day, God created the firmament. Third day, God created the land, sea, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree, all the plants that we find here today. Their great-grandfather, as far as the seeds that we have, the corn seed and the wheat seed, it was created on that day. And so it came all the way down from them. We might have a different variation and different hybrids and things like that, but we know that it began on that day, that third day. And the fourth day, we find that God created the sun, he created the moon, he created the stars, and we have time also because of those things. Outside of the day, we're talking about the greater the years and things like that. So we have that on the fourth day. We understand that God began with light, and then he went to the earth. So we understand that the earth is a very important thing, isn't it? Yes, the earth is a very special place that his son, that Jesus Christ himself was going to come here and be robed in flesh and the very dust that he's talking about when he created the land. That's the very dust that he was going to be formed, that he was going to form Adam from, and then through Adam's seed, through Abraham's seed, through David's seed, he was going to take on the form of flesh. He was going to be the God-man. 100% God, 100% man, come to this earth. And that's what he was creating. He spent a lot of time on earth. Because I want you to look at that fourth day. The majority of matter, or the majority of things, the majority of stuff that was created right there on that fourth day. A Googleplex of atoms was created on that one day. Googleplex of Google is a Google to the Google power. Is that correct? And if you counted everything in the observable space, if you counted all the atoms in observable space, that's what you would about. That's the biggest number that we can come up with. There'd be nothing more to count once you get past all of those things. So that's what God created. The 99.99% of the stuff that we see in space, all these huge planets, all these humongous stars that are so much larger than our star, that would take up half of our universe, all of these stars, all of these planets, all of these globular clusters and things that are up in space, God created that on that fourth day. We serve an amazing God, don't we? And he spoke it into existence. And as far as we know, that's all he did. He spoke it into existence, and they obeyed. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? For us to know that we have an entire Bible of God's words that we are supposed to obey, but those stars, they obey just that one verse of his word. God didn't give them a Bible. God didn't give the sun a Bible. God didn't give the planets a Bible. God didn't give the galaxies a Bible. No, he gave us, human beings, a Bible. Amen. Amen. There's something to be said there, and I'll talk a little bit more about it later. Day five, we find in verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And so we find that God created the great whales of the sea, whether they be mammals or whether they be fish. God created all of those things that are in the sea, and also the fowl of the air, the birds of the air that we still see today. God created all of those things there on that fifth day, going back to the earth and concentrating on the earth once again. And we go to day six, and what happened on day six? God created something very special. First of all, he created the animals and the beasts of the field and the moving creatures that creepeth upon on the earth, as we find in verse 24 and onward. And then we find that he creates his what he would consider his masterpiece. And all of this that we mentioned before, none of it cost God a dime. Didn't cost him a dime. You might hold a deed to a piece of property. You might hold a deed to a house, but it didn't cost a dime to create that thing. Now, we spend half our lifetime paying for it, don't we? But it's just stuff to God, and it's nothing for him to create it, and he does it. It's amazing, isn't it? And he created your father, our father, Adam, on that sixth day out of the dust of the earth. And when he breathed life into Adam, he knew that it was going to cost him his blood. That man cost him a lot. He was slain at the foundation of the world. So before this, outside of time, he'd already been slain. And we know the inside of time, he was slain there at Calvary. And it cost him his blood, cost him his life, cost him his last breath when he created Adam. Amen. And he loved him still. Amen. That's the God that we serve. In eternity past, there had never been a soul, but in eternity after that, and for all of eternity, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, there will always be a soul living with God in heaven. Amen? And he's given us that promise. That's a beautiful thing. Angels stand in awe at us. They look at us and how feeble we are, how weak we are. Yes, those angels are stronger. Yes, those angels are greater or bigger, but it didn't cost God anything to create them, as far as we know. It cost him everything to create us. He loves us. He loves you so much. Now let's go back to God's creation. We find that on the seventh day, he rested, of course. And let's look at God's creation. Now, do you remember when God created the oceans? When did God create the oceans? On that third day. The land, sea, and plants, you might say. That's an easy way to remember it. Land, sea, and plants. On that third day, God created the oceans. And when did he create the moon? He created on the what day, Zebedee? On the fourth day, you're right. He created the lesser light to rule the night. There on that fourth day, let's look at how God's mind works and how when he spoke things into existence, how they were set, there was a plan for them to work in unity, to work together, so that everything might continue forward from the day that it was created. Which one's older, the ocean on earth or the moon in heaven? Which one? The oceans. But let me ask you this. Which one submits to which one? That moon rotates around this earth every day. And when it does, it has that gravitational pull. And what submits to that moon? The oceans submit to the moon. The tide comes in and out. It submits. It's obedient to that. It has to, because that's God's design. Well, that doesn't make sense to us, because that's not our way. We have different ways, don't we? We think the younger submits to the older, but here in this instance, the older submits to the younger. Let's look at the earth. Which one was created first? The earth or the sun? the earth was created first, and then the sun was created on the fourth day, right? But which one rotates around which one? The earth rotates around the sun. Does the sun need the earth? No. But the sun and the earth and the herb yielding seed on the earth needs that sun, doesn't it? Now, both of them, the earth and the herb-yielding seed, are older than that sun, but they both, in God's plan, when He spoke things into existence, that's exactly the way He wanted it, didn't He? Yes, amen. And that has been working for all of these thousands of years, amen? Not millions, not billions, by the way, amen? All of these years, praise God, it has been working. That's God's way. It doesn't make sense to us. But when we look at Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Amen. We wouldn't understand anything about God, but we can understand some things about God because He's given us His Word. It's precious, isn't it? It's precious. Amen. Let's hold fast to the Word of God. That way we might know more about this God. Us just imagining God, we're just like the young man in Africa thinking about who God is. Who is God? Well, they just make whatever it is up, and therefore we have people with bones in their nose, and therefore we have witch doctors because they've made God up. And they followed after the power that is real. And it's true, called the principalities and powers of the air. They've fallen after the devil. A lot of times that's what happens when we're left only to our own imagination. They fall after to the devil. They'll follow after the devil. But when you stick to the Word of God, and when you search after the author of this Word of God, who is the Holy Spirit of God, He speaks to your heart. He's your guide. He's your leader. And He'll show you things that we cannot understand, right? Amen. There's a submission. There's rules for creation that God, when He spoke it into existence, that it happened. Well, guess what? There's a special creation that's totally different. And it falls under different rules. And I'm going a long way around to prove this point to you. I want you to make sure that you understand that there are rules of submission for His children. There's rules in the sky, right? There's rules in the universe for submission and various things. For how that works, how those things operate. But there's rules for submission. We can observe those things in the sky, but sometimes we can't observe the things that are right here amongst us. I want you to look at this. First thing, submission. Humans, God has created humans in His image, and He wants us to live by His rules, specific rules. He's given us His Bible on it. The Bible tells us that, first of all, we're supposed to submit ourselves to God. Amen. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. That's a verse for you. That's not a verse for the devil. That's except to tell and let him know that if we can resist him. Amen. That's a good thing that we can resist. We don't have to fall in every trap. We don't have to fall in every lie that he lays across our path. But he gives us, God tells us that first of all, we're supposed to submit yourselves therefore to God. Second of all, the younger are supposed to submit to the older. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Amen. So the younger are supposed to submit to the elder. And to tack on to that, let's look at Exodus 20:12. If you want to write a few of these things down, go ahead, please do. Exodus 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Amen. The younger are supposed to submit to the elder. The children are supposed to submit to the elder. We can't find that out in society, but we find it in God's Word, right? Yes. Yes, that's not the way certain things happen outside of human beings. But God's design for us is different and specific, and we're supposed to follow after His Word and not go to our own imaginations. Thirdly, who are you supposed to submit to? Your pastor. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. You're supposed to submit to your pastor. Is that God's Word? That's in the Word of God? Yes, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. And do you think God would put something that doesn't work for us? His unity in the heavens works, and we can see that. But what about the unity that we're to have submitting one to another? Yes, that's in the Word of God. You have a pastor that spends hours on his knees for you. I pray and hope you understand that. I pray and hope you know that is true. You have a pastor's wife who's on her knees for hours praying for you and asking God throughout the day, taking your name before that throne of God, that he might help you, that he might show you the way, that he might bring you along. Praise God for a pastor that will help guide you, and we're to submit to our pastor. You say, what about it? What if he's younger than me? Am I still supposed to submit to him? If he's younger than you, then you know what? Look at the stars. They submit to God, don't they? Yes, they do. With that one verse that God spoke, they submitted all of these years. Yes. Yeah, you're supposed to submit to your pastor. And you've never fixed a star. You've never had to grease a galaxy, have you? And that's worked. It doesn't need mankind. It's got God. And let's look at that. Let's look at how God created those things and realize that this is a greater thing that God wants us to have. It's a very important thing that we must have, is submission. And I want to go on to the next thing. Let me say one more thing. How old is Jesus? He's from everlasting to everlasting, isn't he? Is he submitted to you? Does he submit to you? Is he your mediator between God and man? Does he work for you? Does he pray for you? Yes, he does. God in heaven is somehow would be submitted to us, to die for us. Obeying the Father, yes, but because he loves us also. So in a sense, yes, Jesus Christ is submitted to us. God Almighty is submitted to us. That he would even come to this earth and put on flesh like we have. It's an amazing thing. God is God. And so it's according to God's word we are to live our life. And I'll get to the main point here in a minute, but I want to talk about one last thing about this thing of submission that God gives to us. We're to submit one to another. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Amen. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Wait a minute, you said that's in the Bible? Wives are really supposed to submit themselves to the husband? Are you serious? This is the 21st century. Surely that's an outdated verse and they need to take that out. Let's get the big eraser. No. No. That's still the Word of God. Are the stars still obeying God? Yes. Is His Word settled forever in heaven? Yes, it is. Wives are supposed to submit themselves unto their husband. But let's look at this. Let's go back to that first verse before I get any song books thrown at me first. Hang on one second. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, who is that? Submitting yourselves. Is that everybody? Yeah, husbands submitted to the wives. Wives submitted to the husbands. And by the way, parents should love your children enough to be submitted to them, to help them, bringing them along, not in the sense of taking orders from them and necessarily, but submitted to them so much that you love them and care for them and that you want to see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to see them submit unto you and your authority. There's a big difference there. So we've got to understand that. And so we want to submit one to another. But I want you to understand, husbands, that it's not just the wife that bows down to the husband. That's not what the Bible says. Yes, the wife is supposed to be submitted to the husband, but husbands, we have the greater responsibility. Look at that. Just for a second, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, Christ is. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, are you supposed to be submitted to your wife? Yes, not necessarily as she's the authority over the family, but as submitted in the sense that you love her. And the fact that you will sacrifice the greatest thing, and that's your life. Husbands, we have a greater responsibility. So I pray that you understand, husbands. I pray that you understand, wives, that there is an order to things that God wants so much for people whom he loves, who he died for, whom he paid a great price for. Works in the heavens, it should work in us, and we should obey. Amen? Yes, let's follow after that. Husbands, I want you to know that your greatest ministry is your wife. Carrie Schmidt said that. Your greatest ministry is your wife. They're your longest disciple, and husbands, you'll be your wife's longest disciple. Praise God that we can understand and glean things from our wives. Amen. My wife, she has a higher IQ than I do. I guarantee that. Amen. I can glean a lot of things from her, but she's submitted to me. And I praise God. I'm submitted to her. And I want to head my household as God wants me to head the household, be the head of the household. God said to love your wife like he loved the church. And we're not to break that image. I want you to hear that. We're not to break that image. When husbands love their wife like Christ loved the church, it's one of the greatest pictures that we can give to the world. It's one of the greatest verses that we can tell the world. I love my wife unto death like Christ loved the church. And the world needs to know that. The world needs to see that picture in your life, or else you're breaking that love picture that God has for the world, that they might know that there's a God in heaven that loves them. And would to God that there would be some feminists that would take their fist down and say, yes, I need that. Would to God that there would be some men in this world that would say, I would love you like Christ loved the church. And they would lay down their flags and they would lay down their protest posters and say, I want that. I want that. I want to know that Christ. And I want to have a husband like that. Would to God that we would have a changed country like that. Amen. Dr. Clarence Sexton said, every wife should have the privilege to submit to a husband who loves her more than he loves himself. I'll say that again. Every wife should have the privilege to submit to a husband who loves her more than he loves himself. Praise God. Amen. That's the kind of man I want to be. You want to talk about God-given rights? That's a God-given right. A telephone or internet's not a God-given right. Healthcare is not a God-given right, but that's a God-given right. He said it in his word that a man's supposed to love his wife. That's a God-given right, like Christ loved the church. Amen. Submission is God's way. Sowing the seed begins with submission and unity. I tell you, a family that is in submission one to another, you'll see more fruit out of that family. Then you'll see in a family that's fighting one with another. You'll see a fruit come out of a church that has unity one with another. You'll see more seed getting out when they have unity submitted one to another. The way that God wants us to be submitted. You'll see it happen. I want to talk about that, the seed that we sow, just for a second. That's necessary, so necessary. When you search the Word of God and you find fruit, a lot of times what you'll find together, hand in hand, with that fruit that's being produced is submission. It's a part of God's plan. God wants us to be submitted one to another. God's rules for the seed that we sow. Just about everything we do is a seed that's planted. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, can you really sow sin? The Bible says, yes. It says, yes, you can sin. You can sow sin of discord among the brethren. We're not supposed to sow that kind of seed. In fact, God said that's one of the greatest things that he hates. Is sowing discord among the brethren. That seed you're not supposed to take out of your heart and sow. In fact, you're supposed to diminish that and you're supposed to destroy that. You're supposed to let that seed be extinct in your heart. Let it die because God hates it. God hates that seed. God doesn't want that seed to be sown in your life. You're not supposed to use that breath and that life, that ability to sow that seed. God has other things that He wants you to plant, that He wants you to seed. You say, what is that? Well, we know the seed of the Word of God is what God wants us to sow. It's the way that people can have faith. And faith is the way that people can have grace. And grace is the way that people can receive salvation. The seed of the Word of God is what God wants us to sow. Sin seed will grow in the heart of those who witness your sin. Did you know that? They see it and they say, I like that. I'm going to do it too. Little children, I'm a parent of four. And those guys are just like sponges. They just soak it up. They want to be like daddy. They want to be like, you know, my little girl wants to be like mommy. They want to do things. They want to be better than me. Praise God. I want them to be better than me. Amen. They think they can wrestle me and take me down. Amen. And they try. One day they might. I'll pick up a cane that day. I'll use a cane the rest of my life. But that sin seed, if I have sin in my life, that's going to grow in their heart. What I do is just like a seed. What kind of a seed are we sowing? Is it the seed that God wants us to sow, or is it the seed that God does not want us to sow in our lives? If you're submitted to your wife, you're gonna help her. You're gonna keep her accountable. You're gonna show her that, honey, that's something we don't need to be doing, and vice versa. Honey, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We don't need to be doing that. Let's cut that out. Let's stop that in this family. That seed was sown in our heart by our parents. So that seed was sown in our heart by grandparents, by great-grandparents, or by a friend. Some of the worst sin seeds that have ever been sown in my and gone in my ear gate and gone in my heart has been pride-filled. And it has been some of the most destructive things that have ever happened in my life. And I wish I'd never had that seed. I wish I would have stopped that in my heart, stopped it right then. What saved me for much of that. But now I understand what I say and do is who I am. What I am is what I will produce. That's guaranteed. Now, we want to reproduce ourselves, but are we worth reproducing is the question. Some things need to stop in our life, don't we? When you draw that line and say, let that seed die. The Word of God is so important. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's the thing that tells us how to live. It's the thing that we can trust. The Word of God is the thing that shows us the mind of God and that we can take it. We can put it in our heart. We can keep it in our heart and we can take it to all the world. They all need it. They all need to know an almighty God. Search after Him and find Him. These seeds, there's some things in our lives that we need to let them die. Things that have been handed down to us that we need to let them die with us. Let this be the generation where that seed dies. Don't give it to your children. Let that seed of lying die. Let that seed of guile die. Let that seed of complaining die, murmuring die. Let that seed of murder die. Wait a minute, murder. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Yes, if you hate, let that sin of hate die right now. Don't give it to them. Don't pass it on to them. They'll be crippled. The children, the next generation of this church will be crippled. Don't give it to them. Let them be more Christ-like, more strengthened. Give them the Word of God and everything you do and say, let it be wrapped. Let it be seasoned with the Word of God, teaching them and the admonition of the truth. Everything you're doing, sowing the seed of the Word of God. Amen. Let the bitterness go. Let the deception go. Mischief go. The skipping the Bible study. Let it go. You're seeding in your children's heart. You're seeding in other people's hearts, our friends' hearts. One person skips Wednesday night, and guess what? Their other friend will skip Wednesday night. They'll start going bowling or something like that. And then next thing you know, you're feeding one another. It's time to stop that right now. Learn to love the hearing of the truth of God, lack of faith, yelling, all of these things will reproduce in somebody else's heart. A family needs to be submitted one to another, helping one another, and loving one another. I want to challenge you tonight to make a list of what you want to reproduce in people's life. Make a list of what you want to reproduce in people's life on one hand. On the other hand, I want you to write the list of things you need to stop. The things you need to stop sowing. The sin that you need to stop sowing. Get with a beloved one. Get with someone who can, you know, one of those people that can stick one of those knives right underneath your fifth rib right there. One of those guys that can tell you you're sinning and you need to stop. Get with somebody that you can do that with. You can take rebuke from, is what I'm saying. Get with somebody like that. Tell them, say, listen, I want you to write down everything that I need to quit sowing into our children. Write down everything that I need to quit sowing in my disciples, into the next generation of this church, my friends. Please tell me. Let me know. I want to stop it. I want to extinguish it now. Or else that seed will continue generation after generation after generation after generation. Let it die now. Follow after Christ. Find a way to replace that. A seed from the Word of God. Find a scripture that you can transfer that and start sowing that instead. Instead of being angry and yelling, why don't you be happy and rejoice in the Lord instead? Instead of murmuring, why don't you start rejoicing and be thankful in the Lord? Find scripture verses and those things. I guarantee it'll help you. It'll change your whole life. It'll change your family. It'll change this church. Amen. And we need to apply it to our lives. I've got a list. I look over it on a monthly basis. I look over it over and over again because there are some things that creep back into your life, you know. There's other things I need to strengthen those things in sowing the Word of God. I need to strengthen those things and be more like Christ. Or else, you know what? You're going to sow a seed and it's going to take a lifetime to destroy that in the heart of your child. It's going to take a lifetime of your pastor standing in this pulpit of trying to destroy a sin seed in this church from the pulpit and preaching until the church comes into unity and says, yes, let's banish this. Let's follow after the pastor. Let's follow most of all after God and seek His face and sow the seed that God wants you to sow.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.